from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Well, James, I said, I have everything set up right. I didn't. It's fine. We're on air. Did we have dead air for a couple of seconds to start the show? Yeah, it was fine. Did my recording start a little bit late? Sure. But other than that, we're locked in, ready to go on this Tuesday edition of The Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. A big shout out to Jiffy Lube. I got to get in there soon. My car is pushing 270,000 miles. I'm Kyle Madsen.
270.
Yeah, bro. A big salute to the Honda. And a big salute to me for keeping up on my services, but man, I feel like if I have to, I can push it to 300. So we'll be keeping track of that. But, if I do get to 300, Jiffy Lube is going to help me get there for sure. James, you're at home today feeling a tick under the weather, and trying to rest up. We've got a DeMar DeRozan press conference at 1 o'clock. But beyond that, how we doing, man?
I'm okay. The voice is a little all over the board today, but, probably shouldn't go out singing karaoke like I do and maybe save my voice for a radio show. It's one of those weeks, man, you know, a little summer cold. It's okay. I'm all right.
What songs did you do at karaoke? That's what I care about.
But I could drop down.
Oh, you didn't
actually. White tunes tonight.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah.
I beseech you not to do that. So I want to take some of the DeMar DeRozan stuff we talked about for 6 hours yesterday and kind of try to spin it forward, because I think you and I are in the same boat. And I think a lot of people are, where this is minus the symbolic aspect of the Kings landing a player of DeMar DeRozan's stature. But just from a pure basketball standpoint, this puts them in the top 6 in the West, not a title contender, but they are closer today than they were pre-trade, correct? We're all on the same page there?
Yeah, I think that's realistically where they are. I mean, there's a possibility they could be better than top 6. There's a possibility that they find some sort of kismet here and they, you know, take off this season and they are a title contender. But being realistic, and I think we can tell where they are, they still lack the length and athleticism on the wings that they need. They need one or two more pieces, but they've done a really, really nice job of winning the offseason so far. If we were giving them grades, I'm giving them like a B+ right now, and that's probably more because of the injury to their rookie, to Devin Carter.
Sure.
You save the offseason when you were able to retain Malik Monk. You took a huge step towards winning the offseason when you got DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, how do you finish it? How do you finish this last couple of weeks of sort of like the prime, offseason in the NBA?
Yeah, man. And that's where, you know, Jason Timpf yesterday from Hoops Tonight, a great guest that we had when I was filling in on D'Lo and KC. We asked him because Sam Quinn from CBS gave the DeMar DeRozan grade a D-. A DeMar DeRozan trade, a D- grade. And so I asked Jason, like, hey, what do you think? And he basically said he's not going to grade the deal until he sees how the rest of the roster kind of shakes out, which I think is fair. But that's kind of where I'm at with the Kings offseason. I think right now, for me, you say B+, and I think that there's been a lot of really high-level, not necessarily high-level, but a lot of moves that were necessary and needed to be made. Between Mike Brown being extended, Malik Monk being re-signed, I liked the Devin Carter pick, and of course the DeMar DeRozan trade. But I think if we walk into this year going, hey, length and athleticism still a problem for this team, then I think I would have a really hard time like being super amped about how the offseason went, because so many of the problems that we talked about with Sacramento last year was because of the lack of length and the lack of athleticism on the wings. And
yeah,
frankly, they've gotten thinner there with Harrison Barnes leaving. So that's the one quibble I have so far. The top end moves have been really, really great, but I think right now they are going to run into a lot of the same problems they had last year.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that they've gotten rid of some of sort of the redundancy, and they did get longer at, say, the backup point guard position as soon as Devin Carter can play. And I'd even say, like, length and athleticism, I'm going to give DeMar DeRozan a upgrade over, like, a Kevin Huerter at the position.
Sure.
And I'd point out, too, Kyle, like, look, going back and looking at all the stats, right? You want to dive into some of these stats.
Mm-hmm.
From what I can tell, DeMar DeRozan held his opponent to 34% shooting from the three-point line last season. And that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Harrison Barnes allowed his opposition to shoot 41% from three. So, yeah, maybe he's not a great defender at age 34 going on 35, but that doesn't mean that he's not better than what you had there before.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't think he's as versatile. I don't think he can handle some of the bigger, stronger, small forwards in the league. But again, that's why I'll just keep saying the Kings aren't done yet. And then, you know, we can point to like Jalen McDaniels, whether he plays a whole bunch of minutes or he doesn't, he is an upgrade over Kessler Edwards. He is long and athletic. He is that type of guy that you need, and he does have NBA experience. And so I would actually give them a little bit there as long as he actually plays. You know, that's always going to be the question mark, right?
I'm not, you don't get a plus for adding Jalen McDaniels. I don't.
We'll see.
An upgrade over Kessler Edwards? Neat.
Like, well, no. I can't get that.
I can't get there.
I could even tell you that, in my opinion, like there are times where if you're going to play a Sasha Vezenkov,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we talked about, it doesn't have to be a better player. It just has to be a better fit.
Sure.
And I think he can potentially fill in more than what you had last year at that position as a reserve. And look, I think, you know, you just take all those minutes that potentially Chris Duarte would have got or Sasha, or, you know, name that guy that comes off the bench deep in games. And maybe you do find something there, but I'm not convinced that that's like a move that answers any major question. It's just a move.
Sure.
But I do still think that he's a better fit, and he actually fits what you're trying to build better. Maybe he's a better support piece than what you had backing those guys up last season.
Yeah, I guess. The thing I keep coming back to is if Jaden McDaniels did not exist in the NBA, then I think that's where a lot of hype around Jalen McDaniels, or whatever, hype is probably too strong of a word, but the optimism about Jalen Daniels, I think, comes from, well, look, his brother's really tall and lengthy and a really, really good defender and got paid, so why can't, maybe he'll do that. Because I was really excited about the Jalen McDaniels idea at first, and I just kind of did a deeper dive, and I was like, eh.
He was okay 2 years ago with the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
I thought he was a solid player. Whether he's a game changer or not, I'm not saying that at all.
Sure.
I'm just saying that, like, if you're going to be a playoff team, you can't look down at your bench. When you have two starters or your starter and your sixth man go out, you can't look down at your bench and go, where do I go now? And
right,
I think that there was a moment when that happened last year with the Kings where they had way too many redundant pieces and you had nowhere to go. And, you know, clearly Mike Brown had sort of lost faith in the Chris Duarte idea.
Definitely.
And, you know, and Sasha got hurt twice, rolled his ankles twice.
Mm-hmm.
So you started to get to this moment where it's like, okay, are you going to try to force a guy like Kessler Edwards onto the court or are you not?
Yeah.
And I think that finding a guy like Keon Ellis just ended up being a magical moment for this team.
Definitely.
But if you hadn't found Keon Ellis, just think of where this team could have gone. It would have been a lot uglier than the way it finished.
Yeah, yeah, I think I agree with you. And that's where I think, so I've been thinking about this idea of like playoffs or bust for the Kings, right?
Yeah.
And I know that's going to be the expectation going in. And I think that's totally fair. Even if they make zero additional moves to their roster, we saw how close they were last year. I think they were a Malik Monk injury away last year. Now they've insulated themselves from that a little bit. They've upgraded certainly their offense, potentially with the numbers you just said, potentially upgraded defensively a little bit with DeMar DeRozan, believe it or not. So I wonder, is it fair now to say like, hey, it is a failure of a season if the Kings don't make the playoffs? Or do we fall back to, well, they're not done yet, and this version of the roster is not the maximized version of the roster that they envisioned when they traded for DeMar DeRozan. There's other dominoes to fall here. The size of those dominoes, TBD. But there's additional dominoes to fall where the team we see walk out onto the court for game one is not going to be the same team we see now, as of July 9. And that's where I feel like we should be holding out a little bit on the idea of like, wow, abject failure if this team doesn't make the playoffs, because look at the moves they made and they should be there, because I think whatever move they have coming is going to be that final piece, whether it's Kyle Kuzma or a different player. I think that's going to be the final piece that really locks in, like, okay, there it is. Like, this is for sure a team that should be a top five team in the West with no question, and not like a top five team where they're battling down to the final day. Like, they're comfortably a top five team ahead of the Lakers and the Clippers and the Warriors and all those teams that conceivably should be battling for a play-in spot.
Yeah, I think at this point, I feel pretty comfortable saying that they have an opportunity to be one of those teams in the top of the West.
Mm.
Like the depth, the ability to score on anybody, the ability to score in a variety of ways, whether mm-hmm. it be, you know, Sabonis in the post, Fox breaking people down off the dribble, or now DeMar DeRozan or Keegan Murray, you know, Malik Monk. Like they have so many different things that they can do. But I also will, like, caution. I think that there is like a missing piece here.
Yep.
You don't have the optimized version of Malik Monk. Is Malik Monk needs a lob threat in the pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that. You don't have that piece. Last year they went out and they brought in JaVale McGee to be that piece. Well, that didn't work out, but that's still the optimized version. So you still have these players that you need to go out and get. They still have some roster spots that they can go try to find these players. But I still think that they're on the right path and they're super close to having a dynamic team. And I think that when you lock in DeMar DeRozan, and now it gives you an opportunity to go try something new, try something different that maybe wasn't in your mindset before that. Because
mm-hmm.
now you know you got a guy who can put up 24 on any night. You got a guy who can put up 50.
Mm-hmm.
But you now have another high-level score. Now, does that mean that you can go out and maybe get a guy who's just a defensive-minded
right.
freak at the 3-4? Maybe you can.
Right. Yeah. It changes the bar for that player for sure, and the skill set necessary for that player. Let's keep talking about the Kings 24-25 season, and I'm interested to hear from you. I'll open up the phone lines, actually. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Is there more anticipation now for this season than there was last season? And I want to break that down next here on ESPN 1320, where the Insider is sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon on Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it is. We're back. James, live from the home studio today.
Mm-hmm.
Talking plenty of Kings. There's a bunch of non-Kings stuff I want to get to today, too. I'm going to talk about Zach Edey at the break.
Oh,
lit it up. Good fade, Kyle. Nice job. Lit it up in his summer league debut last night. We got Tyrese Halliburton calling himself a villain. We'll get to that, and then we'll get to Courtney Cronin on Around the Horn, providing her analysis of the DeMar DeRozan trade by talking about the Lakers. We will get to that as well. But I'm interested to know, and if you're on hold or you're on the line, hang in there. We'll get to you. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Do you feel like James and Chatty House, I want to hear from you guys, and if you want to come hang out in the Chatty House, please do it, youtube.com/ESPN1320. I'm interested to know if there's more anticipation for this season now because of DeMar DeRozan and because of another season of this kind of Kings core. Or was there more anticipation for last year where it was like, man, they're coming off the number three seed. They're coming off a playoff berth. You're going to get better performances from players X, Y, and Z. And this is the year the Kings are going to take over the league.
Yeah, Kyle, I think it's a great question because, like, look, I think last season the excitement about the team, the anticipation was huge. And I think everybody was so locked in to like what this team could be, and they had the highest offensive rating of all time the year before, and we all just thought they would build on that and it would be some like straight climb to the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the team very early in the season like had too many fall on your face moments where you realize very quickly that that's not who they were. Mm-hmm. They weren't the same group, despite the fact that all the numbers and all the faces and all the names on the back of the jerseys were the same.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't look like the same team the whole season. Yep. And I thought that was interesting to watch, but I think this year, number one, you barely missed the playoffs. You know, you missed it by one game. You lost against the Pelicans in the play-in and you didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have won a couple more games, you wouldn't have had yourself in that situation. And there were so many games to win that were on the table, whether it be free throws or just losing to bad, horrendous teams, which the Kings lost to almost every single bad, horrendous team on season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this season, the expectations should be that they are the team that we thought they would be last year and then a little bit more, because I think adding DeRozan, bringing back Monk, those are moves that make you better.
Yeah.
And they're moves that should make you better, like not just this year, but the next couple of years. And I also think, like, look, when you bring in a 34 going on 35 year old player who is playing still at a very high level, who mm-hmm. led the league in minutes per game and minutes played.
Yep.
There's an expectation that you got a 3-year window here to get something done with him on the roster.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Because that's all you got him for. And we're talking about his 35, 36, and 37-year-old seasons. You hope that he holds up and he's a high-level player all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
There's a possibility that by year three, he starts to fade a little bit. But that's why you got a young guy like Keegan Murray who should be ascending while while DeMar DeRozan's sort of fading a little bit. But that still doesn't mean that you don't have to go out and get that one more piece.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why it feels to me, and caller, we'll get to you here in a second. And if you do call, it's just going to ring until we can pick it up. So have some patience. Put it on speaker if you're at home or the office and hang out. We'll get to you as quickly as we can. But I feel like the anticipation for this year is going to be greater, because last year it was, I mean, we saw all the we saw all the preseason prognostication about how the Kings were going to be the 11 seed or the 12 seed or whatever it was preseason, because, oh, they're not going to stay healthy again. And I think there was a lot of excitement because it was, hey, the Kings are kind of back. Like, they're back in the mix. Mm-hmm. They're back in the fold. But now the DeMar DeRozan signing puts them into a tier of legitimacy that feels new and feels different. And it's not just running it back with the same team and hoping that everything clicks again and hoping for health again. This is like, no, hey, the Kings have signaled to their fans in the league that they're going for it now. This wasn't the all-in move because they still have all their assets, but this was a move that declared like, hey, recognize the need to get better, recognize the need to add another shot creator and a high-level scorer, so here's DeMar DeRozan. And yeah. The level of anticipation now is not just like, oh yeah, running him back, the vibes are good. Now it's, oh hey, the Kings have DeMar DeRozan now to go with De'Aaron Fox, to go with Domantas Sabonis, to go with Keegan Murray. Malik Monk is back. Mike Brown's extended. It's the runway's there now. And it's not anticipation for just this year, but it's anticipation for 2024, 2025, and then 2026 and beyond.
Yeah, I think that there are like expectations that are out there, like pie in the sky expectations that people may have had last season. Now there are realistic, like solid, understood expectations. And it's still expectations, but I also feel like the team went through last season understanding what expectations felt like, mm-hmm. what increased expectations felt like,
yep.
and they didn't live up to it. They didn't, and that's unfortunate for them as players on the court. But, you know, again, it's the losses to Charlotte, Detroit, mm-hmm. Atlanta. Like, I can't even remember all the teams they lost to.
De'Aaron Fox getting hurt early in the year, and then those two really bad losses to Houston. That felt like that set the course for the season of, like, I know they came back and they bounced back and they finished above 500, and it was, you know, they won plenty of games. But it just felt like it was never quite the same after that. It felt like there was a lot of angst the rest of the way.
No, I totally agree. And like, look, once you get through a season of expectations and of sort of failed expectations and not sort of living up. I mean, look, they had a moment late in the season where if they would have won a couple of big games, they mm-hmm. would have improved themselves and got right into the playoff picture.
Yep.
But whether it was because of injury or whether it's just because they didn't play well, guys didn't show up in certain games.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, when you add a piece like DeMar DeRozan, again, I don't even know if it's expectations, as in the bar is now lifted for what your expectations could have been for the year before.
Yeah.
The bar is lifted. You now have a player who should help you get even further along. And will you have some defensive issues? Sure. Mm-hmm. Every team does. I mean, like, somehow Dallas made it all the way to the NBA finals with a couple of players who don't play defense at all.
Sure.
But you need to figure it out and you need to, you know, remember, keep in mind the entire season that you aren't just like playing for each other. You aren't just playing. You're playing, you have a window and that window is only going to close. I mean, that you have to do everything in your power to take advantage of the fact that DeMar DeRozan is on your team for 2 or 3 years.
That's it.
And you need to, and Monty McNair needs to think the same exact way when he's going out here and attacking this last moment of trade market, free agency, and all that stuff. You have a window here where you have an elite player who's been added to your team who can get you over the hump, but he can't do it by himself, and he's going to need these other players to finish this thing off.
What other moves are ahead for the Kings? We'll talk about that coming up in a bit, but not before we get to Don. Don, you're on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Kyle? What's up, James? It's good to finally be listening to you guys. I remember waking up Sunday morning being like, oh my gosh, it's Sunday? I was so ready for the Insiders at 10 a.m., and all of a sudden I have to wait a whole 24 hours? It sucks.
My man, what do you got?
So. I was just curious what you guys think about the Kings big man situation. I know James was talking about wanting to get Malik Monk another bench sort of lob threat guy, because Alex Len, as good as he is, he can't really get up for the lobs like he used to. So I'm curious if you think we're going to go for another lob or a lob threat like JaVale McGee, or if we're going to focus more on young big man, sort of like, I know I'm biased here, but go Dogs. Orlando Robinson just got waived by the Heat, so I'm very interested. What kind of big man do you think the Kings might go after?
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
James.
I see.
Yeah, I
mean,
you need to get the lob threat, whether it's at the 3, the 4, or the 5. I don't care where it is.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's not DeMar DeRozan's game. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, that's a way to maximize one player. But it's a big player. You need a guy. I mean, look at, again, talk about Dallas. Look at the Daniel Gafford addition, what he meant. Look at Derek Lively and what he meant as a rookie. Like, having those types of guys, the rim runners that,
mm-hmm.
you know, give you something. I'd also, like, Alex Len, to me, he's not a true backup in the sense that you're going to expect him to play 82 games as your backup center.
Sure, yeah.
For me, Alex Len is always a breaking case of emergency guy. Alex Len is a guy who's, you know, I think this is year 11 or year 12 for Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does what he does, and he's good at what he does, but he's also more of a third center. And I think you'll see more Trey Lyles at the center this season. Mm-hmm. But I also think you still need some depth there at the 3 and the 4. And even at the 5, you need depth everywhere on that front line. And you only have 2 roster spots to work with.
Yeah, let's talk about those roster spots. I see a lot of people talking about Paul Reed in the chat. We'll talk about Paul Reed. There's a player that I really like for the Kings who I think might be available for like the veteran minimum. We can talk about that. And then there's been a couple of clips going around the internet that I want to discuss as well, coming up on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll be back in a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen here, James Hamm there. Talking a lot of Kings offseason now that the DeMar DeRozan trade is official. DeMar DeRozan will be playing this season with the Sacramento Kings. What does that mean for the Kings? The playoffs are bust at this point. What other moves do they have to make to their roster? We're discussing all of that. Real quick, unrelated to any of this. There is nothing, there is no business more persistent than a minor league baseball team that you purchase literally anything from. I got to tell you, I buy a lot of minor league baseball hats, right? Not as many as I used to, but certainly I've bought a lot in my day. And I get emails. I have tried to unsubscribe. I have tried replying stop. I've tried replying with like clips from the Odyssey. I've tried everything. And I cannot get these minor league baseball teams to stop emailing me, letting me know when the giveaways are, letting me know when theme night is, letting me know that there's 10% off for military veterans on this day. Like, bro, I'm sorry. Like, look, the Rome Emperors, salute to them. They have the penguin hat that I wear. It's super sick. I bought the hat. I will never be. I think it's Georgia. I think it's Rome, Georgia. I will never be there. I'm never going to be there ever. I'm not going to buy more Rome Emperor's gear. I don't want, if they drop a hat and it's fire, maybe I'll go to their website and buy it.
Okay.
But like, read the room. You sent the thing to California. You know I'm not there. You know I'm not coming there. I'm not going to go vacation in Visalia. Like, anyway.
It's funny. We have a friend at NBC Sports Bay Area, Ali Thanawala.
Ah, yes.
And he does this. He goes to all the minor league parks and he collects the hats.
That's sick. But he goes to the park?
Yeah, he's at, like, I think right now he's on a 5 or 6 park trip somewhere.
Sounds fun.
He goes randomly to different parts of the country where he can maybe hit like 4 or 5 parks in a certain area.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
What a great time.
It would be a fun trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that case, you know what? Fine. Send me the emails. If I'm the kind of person that I'm going to show, but I'm sorry. I will never be in Norfolk to take in a Norfolk Tides game. I just won't.
Hat's probably hot.
The hat's fire. Yeah. They have extreme, and that's the whole thing. Now, if the River Cats want to email me, fine. Email away, because maybe there's a ticket special, maybe there's some kind of discount, maybe they got a cool theme night coming up, and I will be in the building at Sutter Health Park. That's easy work. The Stockton Ports, yes, I will stay on your email list. It is right down the street. I got you, Stockton Ports. San Jose Giants, sure. A little bit down in the South Bay, a little bit of a drive, but that's fine. I'll go do that. That I don't mind. But I swear to God, if the Rome Emperors email me again, maybe I will go down there and I'll give them the who's who, the what's what, and the what for.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You tell them, Kyle.
I'm going to. man, did you guys see Zach Edey last night?
I watched a little bit of Zach Edey.
The Jazz beat the Grizzlies 97-95. Was it overtime? Is it technically overtime?
I think it is overtime. There's an extra session.
Yeah, but they do the Elam
wild
ending,
right?
Yeah, they do the Elam ending, which I'm all for, by the way. Give me the Elam ending for overtime every single time.
Okay.
I love that idea. I don't need 2 and 3 overtimes. That's insane. Give me the target score and let everybody go for it. Yeah, so Zach Edey, if you missed it, tied that game, sent it to overtime off a intentionally missed free throw with like 0.3 seconds left, and he got boxed out off the line and still managed to tip it home, which was insane. I've never seen, have you ever seen the fake tip or the intentionally missed free throw work?
The only time I remember is De'Aaron Fox hit the front of the rim, it shot right back to him. He grabbed it and went right up for the layup for the win.
Yes, that's right. That did happen. But outside of that, I have never seen first of all, it's so rare that the intentionally missed free throw like goes right.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen them airballed. I've seen them made. I've seen them slammed off the rim and ricochet like to the corner. But yeah, Zach Edey got boxed out and still with his 7'18" wingspan, just, yep, nope, up over the top, knock it home, going to OT. He finished 14 points, 15 rebounds, 1 assist, and 4 blocks. I'm just all in on the Zach Edey thing, dude.
Just okay, think. So I'm of the opinion that, like, when I'm playing fantasy football, the worst thing you can possibly do is watch a preseason football game. And I also think
that's
that,
super
like,
fair.
Watching Summer League is always dangerous. It's dangerous because you fall in love with guys. You're like, oh my gosh, are you watching what Adonis Arms is doing? Mm-hmm. Like, holy cow, this guy's got game. You got to get him on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to keep in mind the whole time that it is Summer League and that there are limitations to the players around them.
Mm-hmm.
And even like we're watching, what's the big kid on the Kings roster, JoJo, I don't know, like he has like Luol, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember his name.
I did not get a good pronunciation on his last name.
No, but we're watching him play and I'm like, ooh, look at him hustle up the court. He's sprinting up the court. Like, mm-hmm. ooh, look at him. Like he's playing defense. He's swatting it, yeah. you know, at all kinds of shots and all this stuff. And then you look and we looked him up and he was 30.
That was
nice. And it was like,
so
whoa.
Playing in the NBL. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, wait, that guy's 30. Like what's happening here? And he's playing in Summer League.
Yeah.
So you always have to keep in mind that it's sort of a mixed bag. And a guy like Drew Timmy, he should tear it up. I mean, he played like 14 years at Gonzaga.
It was 13 years.
Yeah. He's got one of the, you know, the COVID specials where he got to play an extra year or two.
Right.
And like really, really high level basketball player who trained under a great coach and knows how to play the game. And like, look at the line of Gonzaga bigs that are in the league that are mm-hmm. smart. And Drew Timmy fits into that.
Mm-hmm.
But you always have to keep in the back of your mind that it's Summer League. And some of these guys are out there that just aren't, you know, they're not G League players. They're mm-hmm. not even, you know, they might play in Europe.
Yeah.
Or this could be the last time you ever see them play.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He dunked on Walker Kessler. That's an NBA player.
That's true.
He also
and
got blocked
a shot blocker.
By him. He also got blocked by him. No, I don't think he's going to go out. Let me just get onto your track here. I don't think he's going to average 14 and 15 with 4 blocks this year. I don't think he's going to be Wemby. But I went from thinking, bit for the radio aside, I went from thinking, oh yeah, he's going to be end of the bench, like Boban level usage, particularly in year one. Like he might play mop up duty if they're in foul trouble, he might get in. But I think he's going to have now. I think he could play like 12 minutes a night, and I'd feel really good about it.
Okay,
just with how he moved.
I think
just his movement on the floor did not look as clunky and slow as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, I was watching him in the national championship game, and I was so out. I don't care how many points he played, he scored, yeah. or how many rebounds he had. He did all of that because he's just taller than everybody.
Sure.
Right? At the NBA level, it's different. There's someone yes. who always has a body on you. A guard who's 6 foot tall that weighs 195 pounds can push you like 6 feet under the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the game. And yeah. watching him in space was not good.
Stuff.
Watching him in drop coverage on a pick and roll was like, oh no,
yeah.
oh bro, that's not good.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to have a tough time, but we'll see. I mean, they probably are going to give him an opportunity because they don't really have anyone else.
Well, he's going to play alongside all NBA defensive player of the year, Jaren Jackson Jr. So nothing.
Okay. No. Okay.
I think Triple J is a fraud. That's the joke there.
Yes.
What are the Kings' options here, roster wise? They have 13 players on their roster. They like to keep a roster spot open.
They do.
What outside of let's want to skip the trade aspect of this because that can get a little bit hairy. If the Kings make no trades, if they're just going to sign a player. Like I said before the break, Paul Reed keeps coming up in the Chatty House. And I'm with you, Chatty House, by the way. I'm a big Paul Reed guy. But B-Ball Paul keeps coming up in the Chatty House, which is apparently his nickname. Is what can they do about just outright signing a player?
Well, right now, I mean, league minimum players, no problem. They right. can sign league minimum. And the problem is, though, they are really close to the actual luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this a little bit. And I know a lot of people out there are like, hey, come on now. If you want to be a great team, you got to go way over the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe you do. But you have to remember that the day that you go over the luxury tax, you become a tax-paying team versus a tax recipient team. So even if you go, like, let's say $1 million over the luxury tax and you got to pay $1 million in luxury tax, right? You now don't get the $11 to $12 million check for being below the luxury tax. And so it's actually like a large disparity in what you make off of that transaction. So, like, I think that there is a point where the Kings could easily go over the luxury tax. I think there's also a point where they can sit here and go, okay, what do we have? What do we need to do? And can we make a trade that maybe brings back less money and makes more sense for us?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we can talk about all like whatever we want. They still have like at least a portion of the mid-level exception mm-hmm. that they can use. And again, keep in mind, I keep saying this, but there's an order in which you do everything. There's like an order of operations. We have not seen that Alex Lynn has been signed or that Jordan McLaughlin has been signed
right.
to a contract. That's because those are league minimum players. And so even though like Alex Lynn is going to make $3.4 million,
mm-hmm.
he only counts as a second year NBA player, $2 million. It's like $2.1 million towards the cap.
Why is that?
So him... It's because the league wants you to sign league minimum players and not worry about the years on. So as you play in the league, for every year that you play up to, I think, year 10, your money goes up as a minimum player for every year of service.
Mm-hmm.
So an 8-year guy probably makes like $2.9 million or $3.1 million, where a rookie can make 1.6, a second year player can make like 1.9.
But to incentivize signing those veterans, they count for less money against the cap.
Exactly. Got so it. Basically, okay. the NBA gives you like a coupon for signing a veteran to a minimum deal
sure.
versus signing okay. just young players to minimum deals. It's a way to keep players in the league, like Alex Lynn. You know, mm-hmm. like if you had to pay Alex Len $3.4 million and it was going to put you over the cap and over the luxury tax versus bringing in a rookie kid at $1.7 million, then you're probably going to err on that side if you can right. save the money on the luxury tax. Right.
Right.
So it's just for right now, I think number one, you want to keep roster spots open. So if you do make a trade, you have open roster spots, right? Because mm-hmm. the last thing you want to do is to sign a couple of guys to contracts, then do a deal where you send out one player and take three players back. And now you have to go and waive two players to get back to the roster spot, right? So you want to have roster flexibility, especially at this moment. And then the Kings do like to have a 14-man roster going into the season. In order to maximize their two-way players, in order to get 50 games per player,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a 15-man roster at some point during the season. There's like a trigger moment where you have to have a 15-man roster.
Right.
And the Kings, that's why they traded for Filip Petrušev last year. And the reason why you want to have that open roster spot is exactly that. You can take in a contract for a guy, and then you can waive him or do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But usually when you take in that player, you get something from a team. You might get a second round pick. You might take on a guy who gets $1 million, who has $1.6 million salary. But when you waive him, you only owe him, you know, maybe like 50, 80 grand of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other team gave you $2 million to take on that player. So now you make some money.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of ways that you can do stuff like that. You can sort of manipulate not only, like to gain assets, but to gain money.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Kings are going to be a luxury tax team, that kind of takes that out of the question. So right now I would say there's a possibility out there that there might be some deal where they've got to take back an extra one or two players.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the league works is in order to make that trade, you have to have voids. You have to have open roster spots. So even if you love a player on your roster, you might have to waive one or two guys in order to do a 3-for-1 trade if you don't have the open roster spots. And then you can waive those guys that you bring in and you can try to bring back the other guys, but then it gets expensive because now you're doubling up. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's complicated.
So theoretically, they could go if I'm just going to pick Paul Reed because he's the name du jour in the Chattios. Let's say they wanted to go get Paul Reed. So for the minimum, that's easy work, signed, sealed, delivered. That can happen.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
If he was going to get more than that, what would they be able to offer?
Well, the Kings still have their biannual and they have their mid-level exception, and both
the full
of those
mid-level?
Can be, yeah. Well, they don't have a full mid-level because they're hard capped after the sign and trade. So whatever cap space they have today, so if they're let's say they're at $68 million and the first apron is at $78 million, they have $10 million that they could spend, right?
And
then they get hard capped, right?
Got it.
So it becomes like a slightly complicated puzzle. But as you kind of go through, just making sure, wow, Cade Cunningham just got a $224 million 5-year extension. It's a lot of money.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. That's per Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. So you just have to be cautious here because what you don't want to do is go over the luxury tax, just go over the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have the ability to drop down. You can always, let's say, you know, everyone keeps thinking about Kevin Huerter as like a $17 million player.
Sure.
And you're thinking of trading him for a $24 million player or $23 million player. Well, right there, you can make that trade. You could do a straight up swap of Kevin Huerter straight to the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma.
Okay.
And then, of course, picks or whatever, right? Just under the rules of the cap, you have the ability to make that trade,
mm-hmm.
but you're taking on an extra $7 million in salary.
So now you're
right there.
You got $3 million left.
You just ate up that cap space, right? You just ate up that imaginary dollar amount, and it's all luxury tax at that point. So the first $5 million is $1 million. Tax per dollar. So, well, for every million you spend over, it's $1 million.
So, would they, now I'm stuck on the Kuzma trade thing. So if they wanted to do Huerter plus picks for Kuzma and mm-hmm. the Wizards said, yeah, we'll do that. They're ostensibly done at that point.
They're really close to it,
sure.
But
if they wanted to do, I don't think they would, but bear with me here. Kevin Huerter and, what's Trey Lyles make?
Eight.
So they could do Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles and drop down. Free up. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. You could also trade Kevin Huerter to a team that has cap space and a $10 million player and save $7 million in cap space. So there are a lot of ways in which you can manipulate this. And that's why I always tell people, like, the hard cap is one thing. The hard cap is they now can't go over $78.1 million in any exterior transaction.
Mm-hmm.
What they can do is they can get up to $78.1 million and they can sign league minimum players after that. Because that's the stipulation. You're hard capped, but you're allowed to sign league minimum players, right? Then, sure. but this doesn't, the rest of everything else, all the money, as far as luxury tax and everything else, it's not counted until the end of the season. So for today, they could get over the luxury tax and then they could go backwards mid-season with a weird trade.
Mm-hmm.
They could do what other teams have done with them in the past. Maybe there's a team out there that says, that has $5 million in cap space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, or they have the biannual exception, and the biannual exception is more than the 4 point whatever million that Jalen McDaniels is making.
Mm-hmm.
You could trade him to a team, give up a second round pick or some future asset and drop down below the luxury tax or drop like 4 point something million dollars in salary. So just remember that it's all calculated at the end of the season as far as like what you're going to owe and who you are as a team as far as a taxpayer or non-taxpayer. And that's right. Why we see a lot of weird little trades at the trade deadline.
But they're still hard capped no matter what. Like they can't go over, what is it, 178? So they couldn't at any point go to 180. even though everything's added up at the end of the year?
No. Well, I mean, if they ended up clearing like six roster spots and then had to sign league minimum players and all of those league minimum players kept pushing you up and up and up.
Okay, sure, but realistically.
No.
That's not. Okay, got it. That was
and you have to remember that like the luxury tax is very specific. Like the first 5 million over, it's dollar for dollar, right? The next 5 million is like $1.25 per dollar.
Right.
The next is like $1.75 per dollar, and then Jesus. It jumps to like $3 per. And it goes crazy. And then there's hiding way out there in the middle of nowhere is the second apron.
Mm-hmm.
And the second apron is like danger, you know, danger Will Robinson.
It feels like so much of what's happened this offseason has been avoiding aprons. It's just it feels like there's been so much analysis of like, well, second apron, so that's why this team's not doing anything. Like, oh, well,
it's tough. I mean, like if you're a team, you have to be really, really savvy with the cap. And mm-hmm. and again, that's why the Kings went out when they did and traded Davion Mitchell and Sasha Vezinkov to save the 8.3 million or whatever. That actually is coming into play right now because you're mm-hmm. seeing them maneuver, like kind of massage the cap in a way that will help them like stay either under the luxury or under that first apron.
Yeah.
And it's complicated. We still don't know if Avec is willing to pay the luxury tax. And again, I'll just keep saying, let's say that you get to the luxury tax and you have an opportunity to sign a player that makes $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a dollar below the luxury tax and that $2 million player is going to cost you an extra $2 million on the back end, so now he's a $4 million player for you.
Dang.
But on top of that, you lose the tax like credit.
That's tough.
For being a non-taxpaying team. So that's another $11 or $12 million. So that player could go from being a $2 million player to a $4 million player, and that $4 million player could cost you $16 million.
Jeez.
So it gets really complicated.
And I think there's a tendency, like when you start talking about dollars like that and you start going, well, hey, these team owners or team governors or whatever they're called, they've got it. Like they're fine. They're billionaires. They're the $16 million is a drop in the bucket. But also teams aren't just going to willy-nilly do that. If the Kings tomorrow, there was a player that, I don't know exactly if they're in this spot, but there's a player they could sign that's going to put them, I guess they're hard capped, so it wouldn't necessarily work, but follow me. If there was a player the Kings could sign for $2 million and it was going to cost them 16, but that player was going to make them win the championship, they would do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Warriors kept doing it.
Yeah, right. So that's kind of that. And that's, I think, kind of the issues a bunch of teams are running into is they're looking at their situations and going like, we're not a player away. We're still super expensive, but we're not necessarily one small piece away from being a title team. So we're not willing to pay it.
Yeah.
Whatever the extra taxes.
Well, that, and I would always point out too, like you can make one of those moves and then the guy just sits on the bench for 3 days for five mm-hmm. games or whatever, or the guy just doesn't work out. And then you spent the money and it doesn't actually move the needle,
mm-hmm.
or you can use your two-way money, which isn't part of the NBA salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try to manipulate that and try to bring in guys that maybe can help you. Maybe sure. there is a moment during the season where, you know, you waive one of your two-way players, sign a different two-way player, and you bring them up. Or maybe there is a moment where you lose a player for a couple of weeks mm-hmm. and everyone's panicking, like, oh, you're going to have to go get this or this or this. Maybe you just give Mason Jones an opportunity for 3 weeks and hope sure. that, you know, he steadies the ship and can play 8 to 12 or 15 minutes a game. Maybe there's a night where he gets hot and he gets to play 22 minutes. You know, you got to be smart. This is I've never been someone who demands that a owner spend luxury tax dollar. The reason why you spend luxury tax dollars, if you're going to be, if you know you already got a winner mm-hmm. and you're trying to put something over the top.
Yeah.
And until the Kings get to that point, because they haven't got to that point in the 15 years that I've been covering this team.
Nope.
Then I understand not sitting there and just wasting salary cap money.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it, if there's a legitimate chance to go compete for a title, then sure. But if it's just, hey, spend all this money to say we spent it, that just doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
From really any standpoint. There's a player out there that I think would be a really good fit for the Kings and could probably be had for the vet minimum. We'll talk about that. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic had an interesting trade idea for the Kings that we will dive into. And then we've got a couple of fun videos that I want to talk about as well. Coming up on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We got an entire second hour. Yeah, we're hanging out with you till noon. That's James and Kyle. We're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.